And the Lord saith unto thee, Lay down not with another man, if yourself doth be man, for it is a sin in the eyes of God. And then the Lord also saith, Do not go to church if your brother Arthur has laid with a man, even if you have given over $10,000 to said church. Just don't do it. Even if the church is constructed out of cardboard and Reynolds wrap, the word of the Lord. Yep, we watched Ben and Arthur, so let's fucking go to Hawaii tonight on...
B-Movie Mania!
Mania!
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania! And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and Crazy Chris Hudson.
That was one of the best intros in a while, Paul.
Oh, well, thank you, Michael. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. I started trying to look up actual Bible verses, and I'm like, I'm just going to make something up.
That's how the actual Bible was written.
Exactly. Good evening. Welcome to B-Movie Mania. I am your host for the evening, Paul A. Brooks. Joining me per usual, it's Chris Hudson.
Paul, that's intern private investigator Chris Hudson.
Oh, apologies. Yes. How long you been doing this job, Chris?
It's a couple days. My boss was busy, so he just sent me here tonight.
Oh, okay. Cool. Jason Halls.
That's great. Now let's see your penis.
Yeah, I figured somebody was going to do that. Mike Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
Surprised it wasn't me.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Mike.
I think my battery's low. I got it on my cell phone.
Okay,
gotta go.
Fine. You know, cell phone batteries back in the early 2000s are not what they are these days.
No,
but that's okay. Good evening.
It's fine.
We watched Ben and Arthur. This is a film that was released in 2002. Does anybody know if Sam Rowovich was involved in the making of this movie in any capacity at all?
He was either the producer or the executive producer. No, he was both producer and executive producer.
Yes, he was.
Mm. Yeah.
I think he edited it, too.
Also the editor.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The sound designer.
And the cinematographer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He did some shit. He did some shit on this.
He did.
He directed it.
Oh, okay.
He wrote it.
Yeah, he wrote it, too. Yeah, yeah.
He started it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything.
Quick takes.
Quick takes.
Let's go in reverse order. Mike Hayes, what's your quick take?
Oh, God. Paul, really, honestly?
Yeah.
To cut all the bullshit between all of us
right,
here.
Right, yeah.
I'm very worried that this movie's going to rub off on the children and send their soul straight to hell.
Well, we don't have children, so we don't have to worry about that, thankfully.
Ah, that's right. We're fine.
Yeah. Bastards.
You guys, not so much. I said reverse order, so let me see. That's Jay.
I say this in, I mean, all the best ways when I say this.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this in another little review thing or whatever. This is the gay version of The Room. And I mean that in all the best ways.
Yes. I saw something else that said, just drop the gay thing. This is one of the, you know, worst movies, just period, you know. But I take your point.
Yeah, yeah. No, for sure.
Chris.
Yeah, Paul, this is not the work of a sane mind.
Mm.
Or in other words, I don't make sense. You don't make sense. I make sense. That's who makes sense.
Listener, Chris Hudson had to back up. He physically backed his chair up so that he didn't blow out his microphone, and I appreciate that, and I'm sure the listeners do as well. So thanks for that, Chris.
I bet I blew it out anyway.
You're not making any sense!
I don't make sense! You don't make sense! I make sense! That's who makes sense!
Well, let's just get right into it. Yeah, like I said, this is a movie that came out in 2002. We watched it for free on YouTube. It does not look very good on YouTube.
No.
I don't know if there's a way you could see this and have it look very good.
Yeah. I mean, apparently, I read some older reviews on IMDb and whatnot that said that, like, apparently it was on Netflix at some point, maybe
what?
In the really early days.
Wow.
Maybe a DVD when they were shipping DVDs.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm, and the DVD, I think, according to Wikipedia, is pretty expensive these days, which is not surprising.
Hello.
Arthur, did you find out yet?
No, I didn't find out. The TV just broke. I've been down here just taking a nap.
Forget the stupid TV. Did you try the radio? Maybe it's being broadcast over the radio.
Okay. Let me get out of bed.
We start off here, as Michael alluded to at the top of the show here, but with Ben calling Arthur with some very exciting news.
Exciting.
But his cell phone battery dies, Jay, unfortunately.
It's very sad.
I was hoping you'd kind of expand upon that, but
I'll tell you what happens, Paul. They're on. They give you that frustration we haven't felt in 2 decades of your cell phone being absolute horseshit.
Right.
And no matter how much you spent on it, no matter how much a monthly payment you do, it's a horseshit reception. And so they call each other, instantly breaking up all the phone things.
Hey Ben, I'm losing you. I think your cell phone's dying.
Arthur, my battery's low. I'm losing you.
But they're trying to find out if Hawaii has passed into legislative law that same-sex marriages will be legal.
Right.
And so the way they're waiting to find this out is to have the radio on the boombox. But
well, because the TV's broken or something, right?
I don't know.
Yes, the TV is broken.
A lot of like for any of our younger fans out there. Gay marriage was not always law of the land, number one, right? There were like certain states that were kind of thinking about it back in the day and whatnot. And then, yeah, you couldn't just get your information, you know, at the tip of your fingers. You had to turn on the radio that is on your, you know, like your stereo that has like a CD player and a radio, maybe a tape deck. I don't know.
They don't know what that is either.
Right. Oh, well.
Mm-mm. But it is amazing. The scene is so good because it's funny to hear them pretend to not hear each other. But also, the radio, he's pressing all these buttons on the radio like it's complicated to work. And then there's no sound. And once they hang up, it suddenly just blares like a wall of sound at him. I thought it was very fun.
Well, it's like a gag that some friends and I used to pull at Best Buy where we'd mm-hmm. we'd go to the stereo section and set the timer for the radio and turn the volume all the way up. For like, you know, we'd walk away. Then like 3 minutes later, just announcements about gay marriage would just blare throughout Best Buy. It was pretty great.
Just hacking the planet.
Hacking the planet.
The public has long awaited the final decision of the Court of Hawaii, and the courts have voted yes. Homosexuals do have the right to get married. Judge Kevin Chang's ruling has made history in this country.
The proposition passes. Gay marriage is legal in Hawaii, so they immediately want to get on a plane, go to Hawaii, and get married.
What'd they say?
Ben! They said yes! Go! Let's fucking go to Hawaii!
All right, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Let's go!
The next day, the judge puts a stay on the decision, so it has to go to the state Supreme Court. This is all very, you know, there's a lot of legal stuff going on here. And Arthur, I mean, he goes off. Like, they were really looking forward to going to Hawaii and getting married.
Look, in another 2 years...
In another 2 years, Ben! This is ignorance and completely unfair! This country fucking sucks! It just fucking sucks!
Okay, it sucks that, you know, there was a stay put on this gay marriage order or whatever, But they had the tickets booked to Hawaii. Why can't you just still go to Hawaii and have a good time?
You know what, Paul? I was thinking of that, about that, because I thought that at first too. But then I kind of realized, like, because can you imagine going somewhere that's supposed to be the celebration? I don't care if it's as beautiful as Hawaii. You're supposed to have this giant, beautiful ceremony and celebration of your favorite thing in the world. And then you can't have that. So just going to Hawaii would just remind you that you can't have that.
Yeah, it's like Wally World and National Lampoon's Vacation. You know, you get there and it's closed. it's sort of right. That same depressing feel.
Next thing you know, you're holding John Candy at gunpoint, forcing him to marry you.
Yep.
Well, and then, you know, as if things weren't bad enough, Chris, you just, or Jay, you just alluded to this a moment ago. Ben drops a bomb on Arthur.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
He is still married to a woman.
I'm still finishing up a divorce with my wife.
What?
Dear Diary, I can't believe Ben. He's married to some bitch named Tammy.
But Ben does say that he has not finalized the divorce. I believe those are his words. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of an understatement because apparently he hasn't started the divorce either.
Yes, he hasn't.
Yeah, I had questions about the timeline later because they can't get married anywhere if Ben is still married
to a woman.
Like, also, if you're to the point in your relationship where you're even thinking about marriage, that's something you should maybe bring up, you know, earlier on.
Yeah.
Prior to you going to Hawaii to, you know, get hitched.
Well, how long does it take to get divorced? A couple hours.
Took me about a year and a half, Chris. Yeah. So Arthur, a little bit upset with this, and busts out his diary.
I love that. He's angry and he's journaling.
What's really cool is this is a way to journal before live journal was a thing.
No, this is when live journal was a thing.
Oh yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, he should. We should have had a Arthur live journal scene here.
Arthur should have been on Zanga, man. Just checking that shit out.
Angel Fire.
He was telling me he was always gay and got married due to peer pressure. I told him to get his stupid wife over soon and get the divorce paper signed.
I'm just going to cough through it.
You all right over there, Chris?
No.
Okay.
The other thing that I find entertaining is, you know, when we're talking about Ben's divorce, Tammy comes over and... okay, Ben and Arthur have been together in a relationship for 3 years. Tammy, it seems like this is news to her that he wants a divorce. And she still doesn't believe he's gay.
In the past 5 years, you still haven't even figured this out.
Hey, I didn't force you to fucking marry me.
I thought that it would change.
Oh, shut the fuck up. I'm fucking getting out of here. Fuck you.
And she knows he's living with another man.
Right.
Well, hey, she offered to be gay herself so they could get married again.
Yeah.
And then, yes. I guess Ben and Arthur work at the same restaurant.
Yeah, they work at a sandwich shop together.
Togo's in Studio City.
I thought this was like a flashback for a second or something. Because I'm like, there's no way they're having this conversation 3 years into their relationship. But I guess they did.
You know, you have a degree in nursing. You know, what the heck are you doing here? I got my music. That's what I want to do. It's, you know, I like this job.
Okay, so they hate it, right? They hate working at the restaurant. Ben is a dishwasher.
No, Ben likes it.
Yeah, Ben doesn't care. He wants to do music. He has a nursing degree, but he wants to do his music, and he's fine working as a dishwasher. Ben is very zen about that. But he's talking to Arthur, who confesses in a... I feel like this is something they would have talked about before, but he just says he wants to open a porno shop. And
hey,
Ben
supports
is like,
it.
Well, hey, man, if that's you want to do, cool.
I'm thinking about getting a degree in business.
Really?
Yep. I'm thinking about opening up my own little porno shop.
No shit. Well, that's cool. If that's what you want to do, it's good to have some goals.
Yeah.
That's great, man. Well, I'm glad. It's good to see you got some goals, you know. Go for it.
Yeah, thanks.
I missed that because later, it is brought to our attention through exposition of sorts, verbal exposition, that He is running a porno shop, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
This would have been way better if we'd seen the porno shop.
Or him doing anything to get a porno shop.
Arthur eventually, right, wants to borrow money from his brother for college.
Yeah.
Yep.
It would have been so much better if he tried to borrow money from him to open a porno shop.
Yeah. Well, I guess the thing to get out of this whole Togo's restaurant scene is that Arthur does end up quitting his job, which means that, Chris, that he needs a new job.
He does.
So,
right back at the newspapers. Get on those warm ads.
He loves them.
How does he go about finding a new job?
I think he makes some phone calls or something, but he eventually shows up at some sort of, is it a strip club?
Yes.
A dance club? I don't know what it is. And he gets the best audition of all time. And yet another example of how Sam really has no idea how the world works. Because, okay, mind you, the guy wrote music for most of this movie, right?
Sam Mrawowicz, the director.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for the one scene where you would expect music, the dance audition.
Yeah!
There's no music. Just improvise.
My name's Arthur Sales. I'm here for the audition.
Oh, yeah. Glad you made it. You ready?
Do I get any music or anything?
Nah, you don't need any music. The club hasn't opened yet. Go ahead, just wing it. Improvise something.
And show your penis.
That's great. Now, let's see your penis.
Jay, I made a request, sort of, to... I basically said, like, hey, whenever you decide to watch this, I think that Erin, your wife, might want to sit down and watch this with you. Which she did.
Yep, she watched the whole thing.
You kind of, like, I don't know if she knew about it or not, but you took a couple photos of some of her reactions. And I'm just curious if this scene was one of those reaction shots or not.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was the first photo. She was laughing quite a bit about this. She definitely had thoughts on this movie.
Yeah, because it's definitely one of my favorite scenes. Arthur is just dancing, and he's giving it his all. He's like,
he's getting into it. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, just coming up with a little routine on the spot right there. And I got the impression that he would have been offered the job, but I don't think he took the job.
Yeah. Well, when the guy says, now let's see your penis, it like hard cuts to Arthur outside. And I don't know why it was the editing choice or whatever, but I think that was a legit joke that worked.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was very funny. Yeah.
It was a great reference to a film I don't know if you guys have seen. Called Showgirls.
Mm.
It was basically those. I mean, it's a tried trope, if you will. The drunk director asking the talent to uncloth themselves with the performance and whatnot. So maybe it wasn't exactly, but it might have been.
Interesting movie. We'll have to take a look at that one sometime.
Yeah, we should review that sometime. But hey, real quick though. I thought he was going to continue the job hunt and the scene was going to go on for a while.
Yeah.
But this, he goes right into looking for a new apartment.
I there was a little bit of a disconnect there for me. I wasn't exactly sure.
Oh, there? Just there?
Just there.
Just that spot.
Hi, my name's Arthur Sales. I was calling in regards to the ad I saw in the paper for the apartment.
Arthur pays a visit to his brother, Victor, here, and Chris... Victor doesn't recognize Arthur for some reason.
It's not just Victor not recognizing Arthur.
Yeah.
When Arthur knocks on the door, hello, are you Victor? Neither one of them recognizes the other. They're brothers.
It's only been 7 years.
It's only been 7 years since they've seen each other.
Are you Victor? Well, yes, I can I help you? Hey, Vic, it's me, your brother, Arthur.
Arthur?
I haven't seen you in, what, at least 7 years?
And their memories were erased, is the only explanation I have. This is a science fiction movie.
Maybe they went through a pandemic, too.
Wait, is Ben and Arthur in the same canonical universe as Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
Oh, I bet it is. I see it in a lot of the stylistic choices in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very Michel Gondry.
So, Arthur, have you finally accepted and found the Lord Jesus Christ as your savior and finally freed yourself from these demons?
Oh, Victor, don't start that Jesus God shit up again.
Mike, Victor is not very happy with his brother.
He's a, to quote Arthur when he describes his brother, he's a fucking cunt.
Well, I don't think he says that right here.
He literally, no, but he eventually does describe his brother.
Later on, yeah.
As, and children, please block the children's ears, a fucking cunt. Uh-huh. And it's true. That's why he hates him. That's the only reason, is because Victor is a bad, broken person.
Well, but you're not giving the...
How do we know? Oh, how we know he's a bad, you know, FC.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
it is. What
do you want me to? Do you want me to bleep it earlier when you actually said it?
Well, yeah, whatever, man.
Okay,
bleep it. Bleep it with me saying it.
Wait, bleep it with you. Can you make a bleep noise?
Boop. No, I just meant bleep it with me saying fucking cunt.
No, I'm gonna put Chris's bleep noise on top of it.
Okay,
you can make cunt the bleep noise.
Okay. He's gay. That's what I'm trying to get at here.
The reason Victor is such a MFN FC is because he's a homophobic fucking cunt. And he wants his brother to not have the demons inside of him. And he's fucking a garbage person. Never have I been, while I'm at it, if I may, never in my life I've been so happy to see a piece of shit Christian in a movie than at this point in this movie. Because up until now, I'm like, what are we going to joke about, boys? This is a movie about two men who want to get married and can't. But, and then this, the plot starts. Okay. And then I went, everything's okay.
But the thing about Victor, I don't know if you guys saw this. I think it was maybe on the Wikipedia article for Ben and Arthur.
Oh, he's a very well-practiced actor.
actor in what?
Shakespearean trained, right?
Film? Lots of stuff. He's in a couple movies. I forget what they are. Oh, he's in Hollow Man.
The actor who plays Victor?
Yeah, he's in Hollow Man.
Yeah, he was in a bunch.
I can't tell if we're talking about the same thing or not.
Oh, well, Paul, we know you're talking about gay porn.
Yes, thank you.
You know, Hollow Man, Ben and Arthur.
Yeah, we know about those.
Rockin' Romeo and Juliet, Naked Boys Singing, Demon Kiss, Slice of Terror, The Windy City Incident, you know, Sex, Politics, and Cocktails, Slick City, The Adventures of Della Devenue. That might be fun.
So you're not reading the pornos?
I'm trying to find them. They're much earlier. Here we go. The Cockpit Club. Uh-huh. he's in Galaxy Quest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you guys like, he's in The West Wing, Power Rangers, Lost Galaxy, Bobcat's Big Ass Show, Hard.
Just hard, yeah.
Just something we call hard. He's credited as Naked Singing Boy. So there's only one of those in that movie. Just spoiler. There's only one Naked Singing Boy.
Is Hard about ice cream, like Hard Pack?
Hard Pack.
Ah, good Hard Pack, yeah.
It might be about Hard Pack. Well,
Are we just going to continue to talk about this dude's IMDb page?
Let's talk about gay porn for an hour.
When a series of brutal killings of young male hustlers awakens the police to the threat of a serial killer, rookie detective Raymond Fates and his seasoned partner. This sounds great. I need to watch Hard now.
I really hope it's a sexy serial killer.
I don't know.
Just so we get it in there, what is this gentleman's name who played Victor?
That would be good, wouldn't it? Michael Habush.
Okay. And I don't think we've mentioned who played Ben either.
Oh, Ben's played by Jamie Brett Gable.
Right.
Well, another thing to point out about Victor also is that he is a closeted, flamboyant gay man. Like, Sam has said that. like right. in the movie.
That, that's mm-hmm. actually what I was yeah. trying to get to, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So he's a super Catholic guy, but he's super, super repressed.
Are you still haunted by these demons?
What's that?
I mean, are you still a homosexual, is what I mean. Those demons.
I don't think this was an accident. He looks like he's could be gay, you know, mm-hmm. the character. Mm-hmm. So
he's got a cat.
He has a cat, you know. He's yep, constantly petting animals. Yeah, he drives a Dodge Neon. It just makes sense.
Dude, everybody in this movie has a little crap car. That was one thing I also noticed that I enjoyed about this.
But Jay, Ben and Arthur make a pretty big decision here regarding their relationship. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. They decide to go to Vermont to get married because that's the one place they can go. They consult their lawyer, and they decide that they're going to go there, get married, then come back.
If for any reason California doesn't recognize your license from Vermont, then we're going to have to fight the full faith and credibility clause.
So we go to Vermont to get our civil union license, and if the state rejects to recognize it, then we go to the U.S. Supreme Court?
That's right.
They try this, but it still kind of looks like California.
Really?
Yeah.
And Ben is still kind of married.
Yeah, that was what I was referring to earlier. He never gets a divorce from Tammy.
Jay, you said it. You said it looks like California still? What do you mean?
Well, where did they shoot it? There were like palm trees and stuff.
It's L.A. They shot it in
yeah.
L.A.
Yeah, so... he admits, Sam, I read some interview stuff, like Sam admits like the locations are all jacked up and it doesn't really look like Vermont or anything.
Does not look like Vermont. But in terms of the 2002 storyline, you had to do Vermont, I guess.
Sure. I mean, you got to do guys, what you can
what
do.
What is that?
Do
you guys hear that?
Uh-oh. What's happening?
In the background?
Yeah,
music?
I hear a bit coming. What's happening?
And now it's time for Tree Movie Trivia!
What?
With everyone's favorite trivia host, Mike Hayes!
Oh, thank you, Chris Hudson. Thank you. Thank you, listeners. Welcome to Tree Movie Trivia here. I'm everyone's favorite host, Mike Hayes. And I am here with my contestants, Crazy Chris Hudson, Jason Holes, and Paul Ass Brooks.
Woo!
And we're going right into the lightning round, boys, for Tree Movie Trivia. Question number one is going for you, Jason Holes. Can palm trees grow in Vermont?
No.
That's correct. Paul Brooks.
Yeah.
Why can't palm trees grow in Vermont?
Because palm trees grow in a desert climate, which is not Vermont. Ding, ding, ding,
half
ding.
Half a point. That's kind of right. That was... Palm trees need to grow in the USDA's plant hardiness zones of anything above like 15 or something.
That's what I said.
And Vermont is barely, it's a 4B to 5B. It's negative 15 to negative 30. For fun facts of why, Chris Hudson, what's the coldest temperature ever recorded in Vermont?
89 degrees.
Negative 50 degrees.
Negative 50 degrees, yes.
That's correct. And this is the final point for all the points.
What is it? I want to win. I want to win this thing. Jesus, what is it?
Name one tree. Name one
oak tree.
Name a palm
willow tree. Oh.
No, a palm tree. Name a palm tree.
Palm tree.
That's incorrect. We need a specific variety.
Joshua tree.
Palm olive tree.
What? No. Now, the answers could have been lady palm tree, Kentia palm tree, Chinese fan palm tree, or Rika palm tree.
29 palms.
That one wins. Ding, ding, ding. Paul's the winner. Thank you for listening to Tree Movie Trivia. See you next time.
I think lady palm tree would have been a great name for Arthur's, like, dance persona.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I am scared that Tree Movie Trivia could actually pop up again in just about any movie.
I thought of that. I saw that and thought that same thing. Like, these can't be here. Can they even grow in Vermont? Looked it up. It can't, you know. Hmm. And wanted to then find more tree facts throughout the movie. But trees do not play any sort of role in this film whatsoever. So I found nothing.
So yeah, they get married in Vermont. It's a beautiful ceremony. Just a wonderful ceremony.
Right behind some really nice apartments. You know, like maybe there's a back area where the dumpster is over there, but it's still nice right here.
We gather here for a very special occasion. I have the privilege to bond these two souls together.
Don't they need a witness, too?
Yeah, I brought that down, too. No rings, no witnesses, just a creepy priest. And
he also,
some apartment buildings.
It seems like he doesn't know their names, because he just says, thee.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you take thee?
Do you take thee to be your wedded partner, to have and to hold, till death do you part?
I do.
But, I mean, you know what? They get the job done. They get married in Vermont. Mission accomplished.
Mm. But Ben is also still married to Tammy.
Yeah, I mean, true. But, Chris, they have to, you know, fly back to California. But they're on a little bit of a budget, apparently.
Well, they have 3 days in Vermont.
Yeah, but they have to fly back to California. Mike, do you know what I'm getting at here?
No, but I just love how oblivious Chris was there.
Jay? Anybody?
They take a bus? I don't
what
remember.
How do they fly back?
Is it like a UPS plane?
Oh, they're like FedEx or something?
It's a shot of a FedEx plane.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
They have to fly cargo.
Yes. It's a FedEx
It's cheaper. Plane. They just ship themselves back.
That was another thing that Sam referenced when he was talking about the movie and admitting his mistakes. He just was like, yeah, it was a FedEx plane. It wasn't even a passenger plane.
You know, it's that lack of, like, attention to detail that really makes this movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, they... Sam did a lot of roles within the film. There's, like, 30 credited roles or something like that. Continuity is not one of them. Like, he was... His job... That job was not filled by anybody.
Aren't you a little young for this detective stuff?
Well, actually, normally I don't do this. You see, my boss, since he's so busy right now, he actually gave me this. So I'm an intern. But this is my first assignment. He gave it to me.
What's your name?
Justin Abraham.
All right. I'm Victor Sales.
Hey, Victor.
Victor can't get a hold of his brother Arthur, so he kind of takes matters into his own hands here.
Well, he tries to hire a private investigator. What he gets is an intern private investigator.
That's right.
I love this.
It's so great. It's so fucking stupid.
Why was that a thing?
And this intern PI costs $800. Per day.
A day.
Yeah.
But there couldn't possibly be any way that this intern could know exactly how long it's going to take to find Arthur.
Well, I mean, just because you're an intern doesn't mean you can't be professional.
So how long do you think it's going to take? It's going to take 2 days. 2 days.
And really, all Victor wants to know is what Arthur's next move is. I mean, clearly, Victor already missed the wedding. But what could they do next?
What does that mean? What's his next move?
I don't know. I don't.
His evil gay conspiracy.
You know what? This high amount was played as a gag, right? Because doesn't the intern kind of like fumble before he says it because he doesn't know what to say?
Yeah.
But it really drives home how shitty of a FC Victor is, because he all. Arthur wants for school is $2,000.
Wait, what does FC stand for?
Fucking cunt.
Okay.
All he wants to know, like, all Arthur wants is $2,000 for school, and he's willing to blow $800 a day on this horseshit.
Two days? That's three quarters of what Arthur wants for school.
Yeah, and I mean, it just goes to show that he has, apparently, seems the money doesn't matter because he's so focused on this horseshit that... You know, 2,000 is nothing when you're throwing out $800 a day for this. You know, it's just, I think it adds to the level of why you hate Victor so much.
Well, Mike, to be fair, Victor, my son's name is Victor. How can I get that wrong?
I wanted to mention that at some point.
Oh, we're going to take some sound bites out of this, boy. Huh?
Yeah, great. No,
what do you think of Victor?
But what's really weird, but this just goes along with your point, Mike, is that Victor offers Arthur $8,000 if he'll just bring Ben over for dinner.
I will help you under one condition. You understand me? Will you agree to this condition?
What's that?
Look, I will give you more than enough. I'll give you $8,000 if you bring this man over here to this apartment and respect me and respect this apartment and respect the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Understood? Will you do that?
Okay.
He doesn't get it.
The money?
The money, yeah.
Wait. But how he demands, how he makes that decree, Victor. He's like, you agree to these, do you agree to the demands? Or whatever this, whatever he says it really awkwardly like four times. It's so fucking poorly. Well, everything was one take in this movie, right? Like there was so many times where things were obviously, oops, let's do it again. And they did not oops, do it again. They just oopsed.
One thing I really enjoy about the, intern Justin and Victor relationship here,
yeah,
is that later when Justin calls to check in, they remind each other of who they are on the phone. He's like, this is Justin, and Victor's like, right, you were the one gathering information for me.
It has been 2 days.
Yeah, it's just this stilted dialogue that I found was just amazing.
Is this Victor Sales?
Yeah, this is Victor Sales.
Victor, hi, yeah, Justin Abraham.
Yeah, you're getting some information for me, yeah.
Yeah, I've got all the information you need. I just need to meet with you.
But he's successful, and so what does Victor do with this new information?
Well, he finds the lawyer who is helping Ben and Arthur, and he shoots her in the face. He just walks right up to her in the parking garage and pulls a pistol and blows her head off.
He sticks his hand into the car window, shoves it into her like stomach chesty area, waves it around as while pulling the trigger. Just there's no blood, there's no smoke, there's nothing. It doesn't look like anything's happening except him wagging it around and her convulsing a bit.
Right. Like I said, he hasn't even had dinner with them yet.
Right.
He's already killing their lawyer in cold blood.
So, Arthur, when do you plan to have kids?
No, I'm sure as soon as Arthur gets a beautiful wife and children, then that's when he'll have a nice family. Isn't that correct, Arthur?
Victor, I'm gay. I already told you that.
But oddly enough, the next scene is the dinner scene where Ben and Arthur have dinner with Victor and some random guy. And
yeah.
Oh God!
It doesn't go well. Unsurprisingly, it doesn't go well at all.
You know, Arthur, we have ways to cure that for you. If you just join us for Bible study 5 days a week, we could take care of that for you and cleanse that sinfulness of yours.
Come on, Ben, let's go.
Mike, what's your opinion? I'm really not sure what this other guy's name is, this other character, but what is your opinion on him? How would you describe him?
He's an FC.
Okay.
Yeah. He's also credited as priest.
Priest? No.
No,
priest.
Yeah. That's not what? The priest.
Yeah, it is.
We're talking about the priest.
We're talking Jesus about the Christ. Wizard who makes the holy water potion, right?
Yes, priest. He's credited as priest. Father Rabin's the other guy.
Huh.
Okay.
Okay, wow. Well.
Okay, then.
No, it's confusing.
And then we get a steamy sex scene here. Anybody want to talk about that?
Nope. No.
Okay.
It's a steamy sex scene.
And the nudity doesn't even really happen until the end of the movie. You don't get it here.
No.
Well, we'll get there. I'm going to burn through some stuff here, okay? You guys cool with that? I'm just going to burn through this stuff. If you do want to comment on any of it, feel free to stop me.
Lightning round.
Okay. Lightning round. Tammy shows up with a gun. He's trying to kill Ben.
Ben I don't make sense. You don't make sense. I make sense. That's who makes sense. That's the line.
Uh-huh.
Ben gets the gun and kicks her out.
They're never going to see her again.
Ben and Arthur get a call and find out that their attorney has been killed. Ben's bike gets stolen. They get into a fight about it. I think Arthur gets like hit in the face, right, and falls down.
Yeah, Ben. Mm-hmm. Ben smacks him.
Right.
Wait, there's also like a life insurance policy that comes in at some point.
Yeah, he takes out $1 million.
But it's the other way too, right? It's the wrong way by the end of the movie when it comes into play.
Well, somehow it's flipped. Somehow it's flipped.
It flipped. It like it's, they goofed it. Yeah.
Life insurance
whatever.
Policies are like that. It's Arthur on even years and covers Ben on odd years.
It's one or the other.
To use a room term, that is what we call a plot cul-de-sac. It just doesn't really, go anywhere.
Yeah.
Victor's friend, priest, apparently, boils.
Oh, it's my favorite part. Oh,
he boils some holy water.
What a fucking insane plot this was.
His name is Stan. I actually Stan. Did write it down.
Yeah. Wait a minute. What? His name is Stan.
His name is Stan.
But, no.
But credited as Priest.
It's right here in my notes.
Is it Stan Priest?
No, those are different
Stan
credits.
Priest.
Is it a priest?
But Jay, you
Stan
see
Stan?
That there's another priest, right? Like there's Priest and Father Rabin.
I don't
Jay's
know.
Jay's right though. I remember now that they do call him
yeah,
Stan.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. But there's someone else called Priest, so because he makes the holy water.
I'm talking about the person who makes the holy water.
Well, not just that. He doesn't just make holy water. It's holy water that will turn Arthur straight once he drinks it.
Well, I have a secret holy water recipe that you can give Arthur that will cleanse of all his demons that possess him and turn straight.
How does it work?
Just make him drink it.
I really need him to stop being gay, thank you.
So Victor's brilliant plan to get Arthur to drink it is to just tape it to Arthur's door. The door of his apartment. He doesn't even do a fucking Alice in Wonderland thing that says, drink me. No, he just tapes it to the fucking door.
Yeah.
And sneaks off.
I thought Victor was going to rig something up so it would spray him in the face when he opened his door or something. He just taped it to the door and expected Arthur to grab it and go, oh, okay, I'll drink this that's taped to my door.
Hey, Ben.
What? What's up?
Look at this.
What is it?
It's some stupid potion for my brother. It's supposed to free demons out of your soul when you drink it.
Stupid.
And I really liked this. I thought this was fantastic. When they discover the water and Arthur tells Ben what his dumb brother thinks it'll do. They don't stew in it. They don't get mad about it. They just laugh it off and just like, oh, what an idiot. Yeah. And then they go. Like, I love
it away.
Yeah, it was great. They don't even pay it no mind. They laugh about it. They move on.
So here we go. Victor goes to his local church.
Headed by John Williams.
To talk to his pastor, John Williams. And Chris, can you describe this? What does this church look like?
Oh, God. I don't even know where to begin describing this.
Chris, if I...
Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
No, I just want to say it's. You please elaborate on this, but I feel it's much. It reminds me a lot about that movie we watched that you made us watch called Deathbed the Bed That Eats. It looks a lot like that fucking room.
It does. It does. And that priest is pissed that he can't find the fucking whiteout.
Where the fuck is the whiteout? Jesus Christ. Helen! Jesus Christ, I just bought some the other day. Where the fuck is the whiteout?
The room, Paul, looks like... I mean, it is the set of the dramatic black box LA production of Doubt or something. Like, it's just, it looks like the inside of like a Pueblo church, maybe. Like a mission or something. And probably, and then it just looks bad. It just looks like a stage production set.
Right. I'm guessing the set for Doubt looked considerably better than that.
No, not the movie, but like the
yeah, the play looked better than that too.
Like the version in Barry that they would have performed, if anyone remembers that whole scene in Barry.
It's weird that you bring that up. I watched Doubt for the first time maybe 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
Fantastic movie.
I'll have to check it.
So who was that?
That was the hospital. They need me to get back there. Two of the nurses quit. They have a lot of patients and they're short-staffed.
So what, we have to leave right away? But we just got here, Ben.
I know.
This is our honeymoon.
Ben gets a call from the hospital, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Evidently, at some point in time, he became a nurse again. And they're short-staffed at the hospital. They have a lot of patients. Yeah. What are they supposed to do? Of course they're going to call Ben back from his honeymoon.
Hey, they're very short-handed. I mean, if he doesn't go back, if Ben doesn't go back, they might fire him.
So Victor hires someone. I have no idea who.
Another intern.
Another intern, apparently the mob intern, to beat up Ben.
Yep.
Doesn't Victor end up shooting Ben himself anyway?
Yep.
In the end, well, yeah, they beat him up, but I thought they shot him at that point because we're already going through gun stuff.
Like this,
and then now.
I think he gets beat up.
Okay, so here's the big argument of the episode. Later on, we get the intern FBI agent to go question Victor. And Victor's like, well, Ben's dead. Right. And the intern FBI guy says, how do you know he's dead? He's just in the hospital.
Exactly. So Victor was speaking about Ben as if he had been shot when no one had told him he was shot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Pretty solid episode of Cut for Time right there. a police detective questions Victor, and then Arthur breaks into Victor's apartment. It's a whole thing. Victor catches him and kicks him out. It's a whole confrontation. And then Arthur sets the pastor on fire.
Yep. A little more casual murder.
Just very casual murder.
Well, he gets Scott's phone number first for some reason. Who's Scott, you ask? The intern hitman is all I can figure out.
Yep.
Yeah, he and I are supposed to have Bible study together at 1 o'clock today, but I seem to have lost his address and his phone number, so is there any way you could give that to me?
Of course.
He uses nail polish remover as chloroform, knocks the priest out, lights him up.
There's a lot of chloroform in the movie from here on out, too.
Wait, he lit him on fire? I thought he just made him really wet with water from the water jug he had.
What's great is he knocks Father John Williams out with chloroform. Mm-hmm. Because it takes John Williams like 5 minutes to write down Scott's phone number, giving Arthur plenty of time to douse a handkerchief with chloroform.
With nail polish.
And then Arthur just skips his way back to his car to grab a jug of water, which he just goes back, takes a sweet ass time.
I mean, I don't want to undersell this, okay? This is the main character of the film.
Oh,
the
God.
Supposed protagonist of the film, I assume, I think, very casually setting a pastor or a priest or whatever you want to call him completely on fire while he's still alive, and then skipping away and just taking off.
We're talking about this becomes like Walter White levels of anti-hero.
Yeah, except he goes from season 1 to season 5 in about 30 seconds.
Well, hey, did you guys also notice when Victor is originally asking for help to kill Ben they're going to hire the hitman?
Yeah.
The priest, Father John Williams, he just takes out the contact information from the papers that are on his desk in front of him. Doesn't write it down. Doesn't, like, he's just like, here you go. Here you go. Here's the hitman information.
I think this is connected to the John Wickiverse, where everyone knows some sort of like hitman or something.
Oh, I would pay so much money to see John Wick and Arthur in a movie together.
God. There's a fantastic quote in that scene, Jay, when they're talking about, you know, hiring the hitman. The pastor's like, because the pastor's already kicked him out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't mention that. We skipped through that.
Oh, that was
He's
big.
Mad that the pastor kicked him out of church.
Stan, this is Victor. No! Things aren't okay. But I got kicked out of the church. I got kicked out of the church now.
But he says, he asks him what he wants, and Victor says,
I don't know exactly how to say this and still sound like a good Christian man, but I need you to help me to kill my brother.
Yep.
It's so good.
And the priest is like, here you go. That's it. That easy.
Just has his number right there.
Yep.
Victor has become, I feel like he's portraying a drug addict for Christ. Like, he's like, I need Jesus as my savior now. And he's like freaking out with the preacher. And then when the preacher kicks him out, he's so upset. And he's like, he's going cold turkey without wanting to. And it's crazy.
I think that's because in the story, I think the intention there is that because he's gay and repressing it, he needs like constant affirmation from the church, and without that church as his lifeline, he's not sure who he is.
I just think that the author is also comparing Christianity to drug addiction. I think it's great.
Okay.
I mean, it certainly wouldn't be the first time that two Christians talked about murdering someone, so, you know.
Hey, don't spoil Doubt, Paul. I said I haven't seen it.
Arthur, there's someone at the door.
Ben finally gets out of the hospital. We haven't seen him for a while.
Thought he was dead.
Yeah, I mean, it was, probably wasn't looking good for a minute there. But he comes home, Mike, and we have reached the stunning climax of our film as Victor shows up and rings the doorbell to their apartment here.
Well, Arthur is in the shower.
Right.
Cleaning himself. It's good. Right. Good habit to have. And Ben is tired and beat up, you know, so he's in bed. So he gets up. Victor rings the doorbell for about 3 minutes, I think, while Arthur is supposedly getting out of the shower. And Ben is slow. So, I mean, I know he's hurt, but he so slowly stops and does so many things he doesn't need to do to get to the fucking door. And then it goes black. We don't get to see it.
But clearly he shoots Ben.
Again.
Off screen. That's my biggest complaint of this fucking film. The climax of the movie they do off camera. I don't like it.
And can I just say, for the sake of poor Ben, he gets the shaft in this movie.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, poor Ben. He gets shot arguably twice. I think half of us think he got shot twice. He has to deal with Tammy, who pulls a gun on him and tries to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
He's just constantly getting beat up or shot.
His attorney, like, he's the one who knew the lawyer. She gets shot, so he loses a friend.
It's a sad character, and I did not want to let this conversation pass without pointing that out.
Well, I appreciate you pointing that out, and I would also say that I think Jamie, what's his name?
Gable.
Yeah, I would say that he's the best actor in the film. I thought Easily. That he did a fine job.
Him
yeah,
or the great. Police officer that we really haven't talked about. The police officer's good.
Yeah, he was good too.
If you could possibly get your keys and come downtown with us, I need to have a couple of words with you downtown at the department.
Wait, am I being arrested?
No, you're not being arrested, but we need to discuss this downtown.
I guess Arthur gets out of the shower here. I don't exactly remember, but he's nude.
He gets chloroformed.
I don't think he heard the gunshots, which is weird.
That was it's a really, really loud shower.
Yeah, it did look
like,
pretty
I mean,
mad.
Seriously, I mean, this movie has Love on a Leash level, like, sound problems, and that shower is way overblown.
All right, I'll put in a clip here of the
sound
of the shower.
He just described a bad sound, and Paul, you said, okay, I'll put a clip in. Yeah, no.
My
no, because it's a bad sound.
It's my episode. I do what I want.
God damn it. The reign of Paul.
Arthur, there's someone at the door. Okay, I'm getting out.
So, Chris, it sounds like you want to, for whatever reason, you want to talk about this.
Oh, of course. I mean,
Arthur's, I almost said craw for some reason.
Craw!
Technique for maybe trying to, work himself out of this situation. I don't know. What do you think? What happens?
We've got a real, like, you know, Spaniards conquering the New World thing by trying to force Christianity on Arthur at gunpoint.
Yes, I definitely thought, Spaniards conquering the New World right here.
Yeah, definitely. And then Arthur puts on a sexy shirt and some underwear and does a little dance, you know, so trying to seduce his brother. This is who you want to fuck, right? Well,
don't pretend like Paul's not going to put the clip in here.
Arthur, put some clothes on. You're embarrassing yourself.
Stand having Ben touch me. So you want to touch me? You want to fuck me, don't you, Victor?
Isn't that after Victor makes him take all of his clothes off?
Oh, yeah. Victor makes him take all, he strips him down, forces him to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior.
Yeah, he baptizes him in the tub.
He baptizes him in the tub. He's got to be naked for that.
It's called baptizing.
Baptizing. Thank you, Mike. And yeah, that's where the nudity really kicks in.
I just spit all over my microphone.
Nice. Yeah. It doesn't quite work, I guess.
Come on, Victor. Come here and fuck me now before it's too late.
Victor gets shot a bunch of times, but he gets the gun and ends up shooting Arthur.
No.
Victor.
Or no, I think I reversed that. Art gets shot a bunch of times, but Art gets the gun and shoots Victor in the head. So in the end, they're all dead.
Let's point out, though, that if anyone out there wants to do it, or hey, maybe Sam, if you're listening to this and you've made it this far and you're somehow tolerating us, we could always do a Stan Priest sequel. he's still alive, right? He's good to go.
Yeah, and the intern hitman is still around too, because Victor sends him home. Like, they're going to go kill Ben and Arthur, like, together. And then Victor's like, yeah, go wait in the car. I've changed my mind. If I'm not back in half an hour, just leave.
Yeah, we have the cop that we didn't talk about. Tammy's mm-hmm. still around.
Meredith, the girl from the coffee shop, she's yep. still waiting for her.
So her many coffee. Characters that we could spin this off into.
There's a lot. I would really love to just see the whole shopping, Ben going shopping, like a prequel of Shem, Ben shopping at Vaughn's in Burbank. It would be great.
Yeah, I hope that he did pick up those Twinkies, Skittles, and soda for Ben.
I'm going to go to the grocery store. Do you want to go with me?
No, I'm good. I'm going to stay here, but can you pick me up some Twinkies and some Skittles and, and some soda too.
Okay.
All right.
Rating time.
I am open, you guys. I am open to if anyone has a suggestion. For as much fun as I had watching this movie, there really isn't anything that like leaps out at you for, you know, like a rating system. So
I was going to say 1 out of 100, show me your penises.
Oh. Okay, I guess we're doing that. Mike Hayes, 1 out of 100.
Why do I have to go first?
Okay, Jason Hulls.
I don't know. You called on Mike. Mike has to go.
I'll go. You picked me. I'll do it. I don't know, man. I do not know. This is slow at parts, but it starts taking some big swings, and they're great. Yeah, it's a good group one, I'd say. Have a bunch of friends to watch this one
yep.
with you. So I'm going to add up the dates that Scott Joplin was alive.
Why would you do that?
Well, the intro credit song is The Entertainer by Scott Joplin, the king of ragtime. Uh-huh. And then during the credits, I don't know if anyone else saw this, but the way he credits Scott Joplin and Johann Pachelbel, however you say that last name, is the name of the song, the composer, and then their year of their birth and death. The credits. It's so stupid.
For no reason. Wait a minute. Maybe you said Scott Joplin. Maybe that is the phone number that the pastor gave Arthur.
Oh, that could be. The immortal Scott Joplin.
Yeah. Scott. Well, Scott Joplin was born in 1868 and died in 1917.
Or so he wants you to believe.
It's true. I'm going to combine 68 to 17 and give it 85. Show me your penis.
Okay. Wow. Very nice. Very nice. All right. Now we're going to do Jason Hulse.
Okay. Here. I did read a little bit about Sam,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, when we do these things, we try to learn about it, and we try to see who's making them and sort of, you know, dig into these. And when you dig in and read about this movie and you read about Sam, it's really easy to root for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the movie is not technically sound by any means. He knows that, though, and I did have fun watching it. It's the part of your brain that says, what the hell is happening, never shuts off while you're watching this movie.
And that's always a good sign when it comes to B movies.
That's valuable. That's valuable. It's not boring. I'll go 80. Show me your penises, Paul.
Okay.
Paul, specifically.
That's one of the dumbest rating systems.
Oh, my God. It really is.
Blame the movie, Paul.
I shall. Chris Hudson, go.
Man, I did not enjoy this nearly as much as you guys did.
Oh, no.
I like The Room a lot more than I like this movie.
Nice. Okay. Well, obviously.
That's not a compliment, Paul. Not a compliment. I'm very happy this movie exists. This is definitely a movie to show your friends. In a group setting, this movie would kill. I don't think that Sam knows how anything works in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is all wrong. Religion, dance auditions, like private flights. Investigators, flights, it's so insane. I recommend that everyone watch it, but it just personally for me, I'm glad I watched it. I've seen it twice. And I'm looking forward to never watching it again.
Well, hey, you know what? I'm glad you at least watched it twice.
Yeah, and I appreciate that this exists. And I really wish Sam the best. It's hard work making a movie, and it's great that he did this, especially one that's kind of getting big in cult circles. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to give this a 51.
Okay.
It just didn't really work for me, despite the insanity, which I would normally love. That's the only thing keeping it from being lower. We'll put it
that way. But it's over the 50% threshold, so that's
exactly.
Nice.
Yeah.
51 what?
51, show me your penises, Mike.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Just checking.
Let me just say, we always like to say to, you know, independent filmmakers, congrats that you made the movie. Congratulations, Sam, on getting the job done. Congratulations to everyone who is involved. Scott Joplin, great job.
And he did it as an intern, by the way. He did the music as an intern.
Oh.
It actually dragged quite a bit for me in the second half of the movie. Like, Mike, you kind of mentioned, you know, like everything just takes so long towards the end of the film. And I did find myself zoning out a little bit. So it's one of those mixtures where there's some like amazing laugh out loud moments. And then for me, there was some slower spots, and that's okay. So I'm going to go kind of somewhere in the middle of where you guys are at. I'm going to go 77. Show me your penises.
Nice.
Don't actually do it though.
No.
Well,
no.
Mike, you could, if you want to,
you've seen it plenty.
I've seen everything.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania.
Okay, well, that is the end of our review. But, dear listener, we are doing something this year that we have never done before. And this is very exciting. We are taking a break from our regularly scheduled programming to bring you a mid-season special, something we've never done before. Ooh. So guys, I hope you're excited. We are going to do a Christmas in July special. Yay. July is right around the corner. I am going to host it, if that's okay. This is a movie that I've selected.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I feel a little bit weird about, you know, I just hosted our Ben and Arthur review, and now here I am doing something else. So, Mike, could you help me out a little bit here? Check your email. I just sent you the write-up for what we're going to be watching next, and if you could read that for us and tell everyone what we're going to be watching for
this is a trap.
The Christmas in July special.
I think he's about to show you his penis.
Pack your flip-flops, grab your croquet mallet, and get ready to go back to the mansion. It's time to spread some holiday cheer, Southern California style. When Cynthia Rothrock and Gary Daniels and a stocking full of 90s action stars discover the true meaning of happiness in a David Dinko 2 film.
Oh, yeah.
Santa's Summer House. We're going back to the mansion! Oh, what?
Sorry.
Cynthia Rothrock,
I feel like I need to look this up.
Oh, wow.
Cynthia
okay.
Rothrock is like a martial 90s arts
action star.
She's a, but this is a more recent film?
Yeah, 2012, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is just a little bit of a catch with this.
Okay.
And I hope nobody takes issue with this, okay? The movie is available on Amazon Prime for like 99 cents or something like that. But, hold on, but it's also available on Tubi.tv. You can watch it there. But It's the Riff Tracks version. So, we've never done this before, but I figure, whatever. It's a little, you know, a fun little special that we're doing in the middle of the season. So I think we're probably going to be watching the Riff Tracks version of this and just kind of, I don't want to say tuning them out, but, you know, just sort of like having them along for the ride, which honestly will probably help a little bit.
Wow, that's nice. Always good to hear.
Yeah.
You need someone else to make some jokes while we do this.
Well, good. I mean, have you seen a David Dakota film, Mike?
Adam?
That's a good point.
Adam? Guys?
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 Adam?
Guys?
Guys?
Adam?
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 Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out, touch them. They are touching themselves, and they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
We appreciate everybody listening to this episode of B-Movie Mania. If you would be so kind to go over to iTunes and leave us a review if you liked the episode, you know, we would appreciate that. Get on bmoviemania.com and go to our store and buy a t-shirt and maybe buy a mask. Oh, God, is the pandemic still going?
We're almost there.
Yeah. I'm immune now. I got my vaccine.
Woo-hoo. Nice.
This country fucking sucks. It just fucking sucks.